This episode of The Honeydew is brought to you by Coors Pure, Upstart, Ritual, and Liquid IV. More on that later. Let's get into the do.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Night Pants Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. Look, I do want to thank you guys. We've been growing this show for a year now, and I don't know when this will air, but we're right at about 100,000 subscribers. I don't know if that's good progress or not, but I feel like it is. So fuck everybody else. We're just keeping our head down, doing our thing over here. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. You get audio on Monday. You get the video on Tuesday. Don't just watch, subscribe. And if you got to have more Honeydew, hit up the Patreon. We're doing an episode a week, and we're not just doing 30 minutes. We're doing at least an hour with everybody. And we're hearing some wild shit. I mean, wild shit. And that show is not going anywhere anytime soon. So it's $5 a month. You now will get the Honeydew video a day early ad free at no additional charge. So $5 a month for the rest of the year. And if you sign up for your year, you get over a month free. So that community continues to grow and blow me away. If you or someone you know has a story that has to be heard, submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. And hopefully we get to do an episode with you. Night Pants Nation is another thing that continues to grow. I love seeing y'all out there in your night pants, taking those pictures, snatching them up. The joggers are available now. Everything is restocked. Get over there. Get yourself some merch. And you know I record here at the Santa Monica Music Center every week. We are working with some kids, at-risk youth, and the Santa Monica Police Department on this podcast that I've been telling you about. And when it comes out, I'm going to promote it. I'm proud of it. These kids are doing some really cool things, opening up dialogue with the police. And it's Outreach Through the Arts, ADA, we call it, here at the Santa Monica Music Center. Now, if you're new here, we highlight the lowlights over here. It's a beautiful shit show. If you're not new here, you know these are the stories behind the storytellers. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a pleasure to have back here on The Honeydew, the man to help me start it all, your favorite mommy, y'all, Teddy Loon's Tom Segura, y'all. I like the soft woos.
The soft woos,
just
yeah.
Putting them up there. Woo. Just little layups. Dude, thank you for being here.
Of course, man. Thanks for having me.
Coors Pure. All this has started with you. The last time you were in this studio,
yeah.
The day after, I call you and we're getting looted and in the middle of the fucking riots.
And your crazy ass tells me, I drove back just to see what was up. I was like, why?
Well, I had the gun pulled on me.
Yeah, and then they tapped back on the window.
Nobody tapped on any goddamn windows. Tick, tick, tick. I had a guy come up and show me the gun. Uh-huh. But what I found out.
Did he say something to you?
Yeah, I got hate crime. He called me a faggot. I got hate crime in the Black Lives Matter movement. God damn it.
What did he say? He's like, what are you looking at?
No, he said, get the fuck out of here, faggot.
Did you say something back? I'm good.
I was stunned. Yeah. I was stunned.
At his words?
Listen, the gun was the first thing.
Yeah, that
trumps
me.
Everything, all right? I don't care what you say about me or anybody. I'm like, my daughter is a bitch if you have a gun.
You have a gun, yeah.
But I pulled around the corner. He just ran over with it like this. He goes, get the fuck out of here, faggot. And I was like, whoa, bro. I left. I came back because Louie, Lana's husband, was still on the corner. He didn't see it. And I'm like, they got guns, dude.
Get out of here.
It's time to go. And then the police later, reviewing the video, told Lana, they showed her, they said, look, what your friend also doesn't know is there's a guy behind his car with a gun. So I never even knew that person was there, saw that person or anything. So
I remember I had people at my house, and you could see all this shit from my house. You could see the smoke coming up. And you called me, and I told my friend, I was like, my friends.
You see that smoke?
Yeah, like, my friend just drove back. They go, tell him to get the fuck out of there. And I was like, that's what I said.
We stayed till the end. I mean, we stayed till they picked up the shit and threw it through the window. And I was like, all right, we're
down to roll.
It's time to go.
Yeah.
But we made it.
Yeah,
the
you made it.
Studio got honey, dude. I got honey, dude. I did pull around back. I'm like, is it the hair, bro? I'm trying to grow my hair out, man. You make me feel insecure. I haven't really grown my hair.
Thanks, appreciate it.
I
mean, it's real salt and pepper.
For,
I like it.
For 63.
You look great.
I got
for
a gray head of hair for
you
63.
You really do.
I do. I feel good about it.
Yeah.
I'm like,
we're
why?
All gray now. Look at my beard, man. So
we've been
up.
In this a minute.
I know.
It's crazy to even think about.
I know.
Just promote anything you want to promote right now. Do you have anything that's going on that's timely so we can put this up? So
I'm doing the road, and yeah, I'm announcing dates like every week. New stuff gets announced, and I'll have a tour announced pretty soon. But it's all at TomSegura.com. So, and then YMHStudios.com has a bunch of, you know, we do these live shows, and then there are rentals, and then we have a whole bunch coming up.
It's insane. It's rentals? What do you mean rentals?
So, like, we live stream the show.
Right.
But then, like, after
for a week
the live
or two,
event, you can just rent it.
Oh, like that's considered a rental?
It's called a rental, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so.
And, but you leave it up for in perpetuity?
Yeah, yeah.
It's not this exclusive thing? Like, well, if you don't rent it, it gets pulled down?
No, you can rent it anytime. You can rent it anytime. And, the rentals, yeah. I think it lasts a week.
Okay, I see.
Yeah.
And then you own it.
The rental expires. It's just like renting a movie on iTunes or something. You can rent it and just, you know, watch
all
it.
All right, I see.
Yeah.
All right, there's a lot to talk about. You guys are fucking leaving, which is very upsetting to me.
I know.
And I'm surprised.
We're really excited.
I know you are. You should be.
Yeah.
It's time.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I'm thinking about a whole bunch of stuff, you know, and it's like I'm just not that excited about LA anymore. And I think the year let me know that, like, I can do what I do from anywhere.
All of us can, yeah.
Yeah. And then I go, like, you know, I've always liked going to Austin. And I've gone a lot lately. Every time I go, I really, really enjoy it. I mean, it's like the perfect scene, you know.
But you're also a Florida guy, too. Yeah. So, like, I know people that are like, I don't want to camp and fish. And I'm like,
yeah,
I'll definitely go fucking fish.
Oh, yeah.
I got six rods strung up right now to go to Big Bear this weekend.
I love that the lake life is there.
Yeah.
I love, you know, my predominant, like, thing is touring. Touring from the middle of the country versus from here is going to be a
cut out
game
the
6-hour
flight. I get it.
And then I think it'd be really cool to raise my boys there, man. Like, to have that be where they really grow up.
Yeah.
It's exciting.
I lived for almost a year in Texas when I was a kid.
And you did?
Yeah. My dad got transferred from National, Ronald Reagan now, to Houston, and we lived down there for about a year. And I learned to swim in Texas. I learned to climb trees. Like,
wow.
I felt like I got, like, some boy shit in Texas
that
stayed with me.
Christina took Ellis there, and there's videos of him just throwing rocks. And she's like, not at houses.
Or cars.
Yeah.
We used to throw him at cars.
Dude, he fucking breaks everything. He breaks everything.
He's seriously, he's like a little Tasmanian devil.
And he'll also just, like, lay next to me and kick me. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, sorry. I'm like, yeah, but you kicked me. Why are you kicking me? He's like, I'm sorry. I'm like, well, what made you want to kick me? I don't know.
You're
there.
I'm sorry. I'm getting a lot of that attitude, too. I'm like, mm-mm.
What?
All right, so let's talk about the story behind the Dunk Champ.
Yeah. Because
I really want to know everything that was going on.
It's a lot, man.
First, why did you decide to have a dunk competition?
You're
going to
laugh
specifically.
You're going to laugh at this.
Specifically.
Specifically, I don't think I've actually said this. So I played Burton tennis. And, dude, I don't know if you know this, but.
You told me this, but say it, because I couldn't get over it.
So I was playing at one point. I think we played tennis. I forget when we played. But I ended up, I played a lot as a kid for a couple of years. I was never exceptional, but I was decent. You know, could play. And when we talked to him, you know, sports like tennis, if I go, did you play tennis? And you go, I played as a kid. I don't know what that means. I don't know if you know, like, were you competition level person or? So we play tennis. And as I'm getting closer to the match, I'm playing three times a week.
And is this just for exercise at the time? Or
well,
are you like?
No, once we decide we're going to play tennis,
I
just
start.
Is
this a bet too? Or is this you two are just going to play?
No, we're challenging each other. We're going to shoot it for content and, like, put it on one of our live shows. And we always talk shit to each other. I bet I can beat you at this. And, you know. So as we're getting closer to it, my coach is like, you know, your fucking ground game is, like, pretty legit right now. Like, your forehand is really, really, really good. And he's like, you know, as long as you can serve and receive his serve, like, you're going to fuck him up unless he's, like, really good. So we go that day to play.
I mean, look, I hear you. That body does not scream lateral movement.
No,
to me,
man.
At all.
And when I see him, when I see him hitting the forehand and backhand, I was like, oh, I'm going to kill him, you know? And we rally a little bit, like, to warm up. And then he starts serving, and I'm like, what is happening? Like, what?
Burt McEnroe's
dude, he is serving And he has different serves, kickback serves, putting spin on the serve. And I'm like,
so that's his whole game is the serve.
But
so if you can return it, you got him. But if you can't, you're fucked.
And by the way, when we're training for it, like when I'm really getting close to it, I go, you know, let's work on serve returns. He's like, my coach, who was a big time D1 tennis player, he starts, he goes, he's not going to serve like this, dude. Like, he's not going to serve like me. You know, I go, yeah, of course not. Well, he served. I look at him one time during the match, and he's like,
"What did he say? It's a what?"
Well, after it, like Bert just absolutely kicked the shit out of
just
me.
Just acing. That's the way you score. You don't get one of them returned.
I mean, maybe one out of like 30.
Yeah. A third.
Oh yeah, just and I'm demoralized. I mean, I'm like, so
is he just talking shit and everything else too?
No, he's not. But I just can't believe it. And I win the first two games. So it's I'm up 2-0 to start. I'm like, oh, that's all right.
How'd you win those?
He's not I'm serving poorly. Mm-hmm. So the few times that I'm serving okay, I don't even think he's returning them. Anytime we can start a rally, I'm basically winning. But he starts serving and I'm like, and I'm just the thing is, it's one of those things where it like snowballs. Like I start to just get down. I'm like, oh, fuck. It's over. When it's over, he wins like 6-2, 6-1. Just kills me. And I'm just like so depressed about it. And I walk over to the coach. He goes, I got to tell you something. And I go, what? He goes, that's a legit D1 college serve. And I go, what?
A legit D1. Yeah. D1, not
Division
D2.
One. And I go, what the fuck, Bert? What was that? And he goes, I told you I used to play. I go, what the fuck did you play, man? Did you play international games? And then the funny thing is my coach goes, I've never seen such a disparity between someone's serve and their ground game.
It's like he just worked on the
serve. One thing. But one thing I've learned over time about Bert, because Bert will always tell you what a great athlete he is. He'll tell you. He's yeah. Like, I'm one of the – is that, you know, there's different types of athleticism, right? Like – I'm used to when someone says they're an athlete, for like what I grew up doing and playing, athlete means run the fastest, jump the highest, like raw, like football player, like combine shit. Yeah. Like that's the great athlete. So I was like, what are you talking about? But what he does legitimately is incredible hand-eye coordination. Like it's definitely above average. Like hitting a baseball, hitting a golf ball, tennis serve. Bow and arrow, all that shit, like it's impressive. He did that bow and arrow thing on the Go Big Show, mm-hmm. Bullseye, and they were all like, "What?" Like he really is good at that. And if I've seen him hit a golf ball, I'm like impressive, really good at it. So he beat the fuck out of me at that, and he goes, "What are we gonna do next?" So I go, "I know, like without a doubt, that I'll fuck him up in basketball. Like not talking about dunking, just one on one. I played." So much basketball. Like, even though I haven't played in a while, I'm like, I know he didn't play basketball. So I'm like, I just want to pick something that I'll definitely beat him in.
This is even better.
Yeah. Because it's all ego driven. Yeah. So I go, we'll do basketball. He ends up reaching out to Tristan Jass, who's like this YouTube kid, really talented, really good guy too. And so he's like, you know, let's do this thing with Tristan agrees. So the whole idea is we're going to play 2-on-1 versus Tristan. Then we're going to play 1-on-1 versus each other. Then we're going to do the dunk contest. It was just to have something else to do.
Who came up with the dunk competition?
I don't remember if I suggested it or not. I just knew that, like, when we talked about it, it was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. We'll lower it, and then whoever can do it higher. I mean, never thinking that anything would go wrong.
Yeah.
So we played 2-on-1, and Tristan beats us. He's 1-2 in basketball. His points count as 1. Ours count as 2.
How bad did he beat you?
By 1. And Bert missed an open layup to win the game.
That's that ground game, man.
Yeah, I told him.
I can shoot threes.
I go, I'm going to hate you for a whole day for fucking that up. He's like, let's not talk about it. I go, okay. So when we finish 2-on-1, I think – I go, let's just play 1-on-1 now. But then Lindsay, who works with us, goes – why don't we go to the other end? They've lowered the hoop already. We can do that. Then we'll play 1-on-1 after. And I was like, well, you know what? Our legs will be fresher, like to yeah, do the jump be, now.
Yeah.
So, okay, that makes sense. So we go down there and the hoop is lowered to 7.5 feet. I mean, it's, you know, you basically just reach up, put it in. And we just start doing it that way. 7.5, 8, 8.5, 9. He couldn't do 9.
I've seen your 9-foot.
Yeah. I did 9, mm-hmm. and then they're like, it's over. Like, you beat it. I was like, great. So that's like one part of our competition. Now let's go play 1-on-1. I've said it on podcasts already, but then I forget who it was. Goes, I think you can do a little bit higher. And I was like,
so it wasn't enough for you to win. You wanted to
wasn't even that I wasn't like, I think I could do higher. Somebody else said it. And I was like, and I remember being like, I remember feeling the adrenaline surge of them saying, of someone saying, I think you can do this. And I was like, can I? I don't know. And there was that guy, Roy, if you watch the video on our YouTube channel, he's a basketball coach and he coaches people privately and works. And he pulled me aside and he was like, you have to dig deep on this one, man. Yeah. And I was like,
Roy, try to pep it.
Yeah. He was like, because he knew it was like the 9 was close to the limit. Like,
but also 9.5 is that much closer to 10.
It is.
You know what I mean?
Put it to 9.3.
9.3. Okay.
So they raised it 3 inches, which I was like, okay. And I remember thinking, I was like, man, I might be able to. Like, I knew I could grab the.
Could you dunk back in the day?
No, I could touch the rim. I could, like kind of like hook it.
Okay.
But I could never dunk a basketball in it.
I could.
Yeah?
No.
Jesus.
I'm 5'10. I'd be the spud web.
I told you what happened to. Didn't I tell you about that kid in my college dorm hall my freshman year?
I don't know.
The goofiest fucking guy I've ever met. He had hair parted down the middle that like split here.
And he had covered his eyes.
And he was like, hey, Tom. He had a goofy ass Carolina accent. He came in my room and he was like, I got a big dick. And I was like, what?
I was about to say, I bet this kid's got a 9-inch dick.
Yeah, he would come in, open his towel and like helicopter his dick around.
And
we're
just
like,
show
right,
people?
Man. Yeah, dude. We were freshmen. Everyone's half a jackass on the freshman hall. And one day we're just talking.
Can you imagine? Listen, I talk about this all the time. Like, why we're so different. Like,
yeah.
Why can't you and I, as just two heterosexual male friends, lay in bed together and watch a movie like girls do?
You know what I mean?
What are you doing right now? It's just Tom and I over here laying in bed together watching a movie.
We're just holding each other.
It's not sexual. Yeah. We're just watching a movie. You know, girls do that shit all the time.
All the time.
What chick is coming in showing you her pussy? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, look at this pussy,
lady. Look at this
lady.
Pussy. Well, there are a few of those.
Listen, there's always some.
Yeah,
there are.
There's a few. You don't want to date them, but they're fun to have around.
You pay those girls. Yeah. Too.
So, yeah, this dude, what's his name? Yeah, his name was Justin. He was just goofy, man. And he goes, I forget how the company, but he says, I can dunk.
Was his dick big?
Yeah.
Just helicoptering it around.
Yeah, yeah. And he had a lean, slight build, but average. Built.
Like I feel like it's those swimmers bodies guys, those skinny like Pete Davidson guys.
Yeah,
just have
he's
like
got a hammer
fucking,
on him.
Yeah,
for sure.
Sure, for sure.
So he's kind of like that. He's maybe like 6 feet. I don't know if he was 6'1". Maybe I think he's like 6 feet tall at the time. I remember. And then he goes, "I can." He said he could dunk, and I go, "Get the fuck out of here." He goes, "No, for real." And I go,
"Hold my dick."
So I'm like, "Dude, okay." And I say something to him, like, let's go right now. He's like, okay. So we walk from the freshman dorm over to the gym. We're at the indoor gym.
10-foot rim.
This is the gym that the college team plays on. This is the regulation, like, gymnasium, you know? And I go, you can dunk? He walks up and does a 360 dunk. Yeah.
Did he even play on the team or anything?
No.
And he's just like that playground guy.
And he was like, I told you. A fucking full double two-hit, pow, and I was like, nuh-uh. He was like, yeah. I was like, why did you get that gift, you goofy fuck? Like, he was so unworthy of it. But yeah, he just did it, you know, in front of me like that. So anyway, back to the day. Like, I remember that dude said that to me. And I do remember.
That's your last rendezvous.
That's your last rendezvous. You need to come to the party, man. He did tell me to come to the party.
You're getting the fucking big daddy.
You need to come to the party, man.
You need to come to the party.
This your last rendezvous.
Everybody, this your last rendezvous. You got that speech.
Yeah. He told me. He told me that the rim was taking my remote control and trying to change the TV in my fucking house. So
he says, fuck you.
I played that for an NFL player yesterday.
Who?
Cassius March, plays for the Steelers. He was like, what is this? So
oh, God.
I told him, Once I played that Coach Ice speech for Finesse Mitchell, who played at Miami. I played for the Canes.
Finesse and, played for them?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Finesse said, I played in that speech. He goes, you know what I didn't hear in this video? I go, what? He goes, anything about football.
Yep, anything about anything. Football.
So Roy tells me, like, and I remember, like, you know when you go, like you could feel that you're too hyped up. Mm-hmm. I felt it. Like, my heart rate was up. Like, dried out in the throat, but I was like, well, like, use this energy to go, you know? I just line up and, you know, seen the video 100 times, but like.
You're the new NBA logo, bro.
What I remember is that I push off on my left foot, right? Because there's 2 foot jumpers and there's like the one, I guess I'm a 1 foot jumper. So I push off. And I don't know what happens. Like, in your mind, you're just like it, you know, it's fast. I felt like I didn't feel pain. I just knew that, like, something happened.
So it's not slow-mo right here? It's just instant, like,
so fast.
Up, down?
So fast. I mean, I felt like I got shot. I was like, what the fuck? Like, it was so fast. And then I don't know. The thing is, I don't know if I'm 2 inches off the ground or 20. Do you know what I mean? Like, when you push off – and you feel something goes wrong. It is in an instant. But
so
you're like,
on the push off, you feel pain?
I don't feel pain.
Nothing. You just feel yourself sort of losing control.
Yeah, and I'm like, oh, it's like the engine died. You know, I'm like, what? And I just remember being like kind of surprised at what's happening in the moment, and instinctively, like, I don't think put your arm behind you. It just goes behind me.
Listen, yeah. When you first told me, I said, did you put your hand? You're like, no, my arm went behind me.
Yeah.
I watch football every Sunday. Yeah. I see that thing happens 100 times a game. And I'm just like, that fucking crushed Tom's arm. Like,
yeah.
These 20-year-old studs and getting there, having bodies fall on and shit too. And
I've fallen 100 times. Like, I mean, but it was just, I think it was like.
So your left foot, you're up in the air, and then your left arm just folds
like,
behind
like this.
You.
No, not even like that. Okay. It's just like
tucks back.
It's like tucks back. Like, it's an instinctive thing that you're doing to basically protect your back and head.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you're like, oh, like you're not consciously thinking, I should put my arm behind me. It just happens. And I landed on it. It just fucking
and
snapped
your body
it in half.
Weight. Snapped it in half. I mean, you sent me the picture of that thing snapped inside your skin. It is fucking, it looks like a cartoon.
I'm doing a podcast with the surgeon next week. Like, because he was like, this is a major trauma.
Yeah, that's what I want to talk about.
Yeah, yeah. So
that thing, you hit the ground.
Yeah.
And what pain are you feeling? The arm?
Just the arm.
Just the arm.
I don't even think something's wrong with my leg.
And is it immediate?
It's immediate and intense.
Intense.
It's intense.
Do you
pain.
Feel like you're going to pass out?
No, I just feel like I basically this face. I'm like, you know, like I can't like be alert. I'm just like, you're so feeling the intensity of that pain. That like,
that's all you
in that video,
about.
If you see that immediately, I go call 911.
Yeah.
Right? Because they're all in shock. They don't know, like, it also happened that fast to them. So they're all like, you know, you can hear one of the kids, one of Tristan's shooters go, his arm.
I like, swear I heard Roy going, quit fucking around, man.
Let's come on, man. Dig deep. Like, yeah. Yeah. Do you know what, did I tell you that I think it's in the.
I think he can get 10.
Did I tell you that he pulled me aside and he was like, you got that Larry Johnson. Like, right? Because when I was dunking on like 8.5.
Larry Johnson.
Yeah, I had the two-handed thing.
You
and I go to my bag.
Gold toothed it and called it
bro,
a motherfucker.
In my bag, I had a Larry Johnson jersey.
Nuh-uh.
Yes.
What are the odds of that?
I brought it for that day. And I just didn't put it on.
Never got to wear it. You still got it then,
I still have it. So, dude.
Oh, that was a college kid playing with a gold tooth.
That team was fucking
sick. They were
sick.
Something else.
These kids now don't. If you want to look up some shit,
you want
to see some shit,
yeah.
Go look at that UNLV squad. That was like, what, 91, 92?
Yeah, it was in the early 90s.
And they fucked people up.
They did.
Yeah, Larry Johnson, who looks like a defensive end in the NFL. But, I mean, we're talking 6'7", 255, and like.
Massive.
Big fucking guy, man. And him, Stacey Augmon, and those guys just.
That's what I mean. I remember being a kid being like, I want to be on this fucking team.
Yeah.
These guys are the shit.
Yeah.
And then Tark chewing those towels mm-hmm. and telling those kids, you don't have to go to class. It's not,
yeah.
not
don't
about
worry
class.
About that. Yeah. About it's about basketball.
It's about winning fucking games.
Yeah. Let's take a quick break and tell you about our first sponsor, Upstart. If you have multiple credit cards, you know that tracking multiple balances, due dates, website logins, all that stuff can be stressful. Upstart makes things simple with one monthly payment in one place. Upstart is the fast and easy way to get a personal loan to pay off your debt all online. Whether it's paying off credit cards, consolidating high interest debt, or funding personal expenses, over 500,000 people have used Upstart to get a simple fixed monthly payment. Upstart finds smarter rates with trusted partners because they assess more than just your credit score. With a 5-minute online rate check, you can get approved the same day and you can receive your funds as fast as one business day. If debt is taking over your life, it's time to get a fresh start with Upstart. Listen, I know you guys use Upstart. You hit me up about it. You've gotten great rates. You've gotten consolidation, one monthly payment. I wish I had something like Upstart back in the day. Find out how Upstart can lower your monthly payments today when you go to upstart.com/honeydew. That's upstart.com/honeydew. Don't forget to use my URL to let them know I sent you. Loan amounts will be determined based on your credit, income, and certain other information provided in your loan application. Go to upstart.com/honeydew. Our next sponsor is Liquid IV. When we push our body hard or we're just feeling run down, it's extremely important to take care of ourselves with the proper vitamins and nutrients. That's why Liquid IV created Hydration Multiplier plus Immune Support to maintain and strengthen your immune system. Look, I've told you, I've took it all during coronavirus when I actually had it. And I took the immune. It really helped me. It's got the vitamin C, the zinc, all of that stuff. That's my favorite one. I love it. But the other flavors they have are great, too. You got watermelon, strawberries, a lot of good stuff out there. Now, Hydration Multiplier plus Immune Support is a cutting-edge blend of vitamin C, zinc, and Wellmune in convenient single-serving packets to help strengthen your immune system. When you purchase Liquid IV, you're joining their mission to help people live better lives everywhere. With every purchase, Liquid IV donates a serving of Liquid IV to someone in need. Liquid IV has donated 4+ million servings in response to COVID-19. Products are being donated to hospitals, first responders, food banks, veterans, and active military. The company has donated over 10 million servings globally. Get your Liquid IV's Hydration Multiplier plus Immune Support in bulk at Costco or order online and get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and you use my code HONEYDEW at checkout. That's 25% off of anything you order when you get better hydration today using promo code HONEYDEW at liquidiv.com. Now, let's get back to the dew.
But they were the shit. Anyway, I just remember, I think I told you those paramedics came.
Well, Bert takes your arm and readjusts it.
Yeah, because it's stuck behind
right,
me.
It's stuck.
And but, he pulls it.
And that's not a good thing to do either, though, is it?
There's a strong case that that's not a good thing to
yeah.
do. They usually are like, don't touch people that are broken.
Yeah, snapped in half.
Yeah,
leave that
but he,
shit.
And then it just dropped. And I was like,
when he did it hurt when he moved it?
I don't remember. It was everything hurt. It hurt so intensely.
But at this point, you have no idea still.
I don't know what's – I know my arm's broken.
But I'm talking about your leg. You didn't even know that because this pain's so intense.
Don't feel a thing.
Fuck anything else.
I don't feel a thing in my left
leg.
Wow. Which they told me later is very common when you have like that double whammy that your brain will process one of the pains so much that you won't feel pain. Like I didn't feel pain in my leg till like 5-6 days later.
Damn, that long.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So paramedics come, this fucking guy – the whole he goes, what are you doing playing with kids, man?
Kids.
I was like, what? I'm on the ground.
Wait, hold on. He's, you know.
I was like, what are you? What? He's like, you're
he's probably seen this shit enough. To be
yeah.
like, hey, you're up there, man. You don't need to be fucking around with these kids anymore.
And then they're like, you know, asking me questions. I'm like, yep, this arm, yep, this leg. And then the guy's like radioing. He's like, yeah, we're gonna transport, blah blah blah. And the same guy,
we got ball hog in the back.
He did. The same guy kept going, he's playing with kids.
He kept saying it.
We get in the back of that.
How old do you think he was?
Fucking 10 years older than me. And he was like, we get in the back of the ambulance. He's like, I don't know why you're out there playing with kids, man. I go, just shut the fuck up, man. Like, we get to the emergency room.
That's my favorite.
And the doctor's
guy.
Like, he's like, yeah, he's out there playing with kids. I'm like,
he couldn't let it go.
Couldn't let it go.
Couldn't let it go. Whole time talking about kids. I'm like, shut up. You know what I remember too? Like 2.5 months before this, I remember exactly where I was. I was in Oklahoma City. I just got to the hotel. I'd started like doing stand up at the places that had that were saying we'll do like half capacity. I was doing like one a month. So this is like the second one I've done since the pandemic started. And I have Josh Potter with me. And we're leaving the hotel. I go, we check in. And I go, it's like, I don't know. Let's say it's like early afternoon. You want to get coffee? And he's like, yep. And they tell us there's a good coffee place around the corner. So we're walking up that street. And I go, did I tell you what we're doing for the next challenge, Bert and I? And he goes, what? So we're going to do basketball. And then we're going to do this dunk contest. And Josh goes, I got to tell you, man, that's how guys your age get fucked up.
And I go, tell you to stop.
I go, what? And he goes, I don't know if you really want to do that. And I go, why? He goes, guys in their 40s play basketball. They tear their ACLs. They tear their Achilles. I've seen it a bunch. And I was like, I don't know. I'm not worried about it. Kept walking. I remember it so vividly, you know, him being like, could go wrong. And I was like, I mean, I guess it could, but I'm not really concerned. So I'm in this hospital that I don't like to name because I don't want to, but immediately I know that this is not a great hospital. I know it's close to where we played basketball. I don't know it by name. I'm saying when we pull up, I'm like, fuck this place. So they put me in the, and you have, by the way, you have intense memories when you have like a traumatic thing.
What do you mean?
Like your father passed away. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you remember the details of that day vividly, right? It's a traumatic event. I remember so much, so vividly.
Oh, I see. Of like, that day.
Of that, and especially of like from the injury on for that month. It's like, I remember people's names. So I get in this emergency room and they had done like, they're like, we got to wrap your arm. So it's fresh broken. And they start giving me like fentanyl in the ambulance. I don't feel any, like, I don't feel the effects of that. They're like, how's your pain? I'm like, it's fucking 15. Like, what are you talking about? Then there's a fucking lunatic next to me, Scott. They're like, stop it, Scott.
Scott.
Because he's like, ah, like yelling and shit. And then he starts snoring.
Right away.
Yep. And then he wake up. He's like, I'm in pain. And they're like, shut up, Scott. I'm like yelling.
That's
to
how
him.
They're helping.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, God. Hospital. And I'm like, I got to get the fuck out of here. So they start coming in. And it's always a new person. Are you in pain? I go, yeah, I'm in a lot of pain. And they start just giving me drugs, pills. And I'm like, look, man, whatever you're getting, just so you know. I'm not feeling it at all. Like, I don't feel what you're giving me. And they're like, oh, okay. So they just up it, you know, start giving me higher doses. And finally, they go, now we're going to wrap your arm. I'm like, oh, fuck. So it's fresh broken.
Oh.
And they wrap it, and it's like,
is it killing you?
Yeah. They do x-rays, and they x-ray the leg. They put a straight brace on the leg. They're like, well, we know this thing's fucked. And then
that's the first time you're even finding out about the leg right there when they're like, this thing's fucked too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How did they know? Did they do full body like?
Yeah. Well, they realized that like the injury happened. I go, something happened with my, I don't know what happened with my knee, but also my patella moved.
Oh,
so they're like, your patella's over here.
Yeah. Yeah, well, like, then that's,
I go, yeah, I go, yeah, we should probably check that out. So,
God.
Dude, these people come in, x-ray tech, then, they, you know, they give me the drugs. And then after a while, they're like, so, like, you know, you're going to need surgery. And I was like, tonight? And they're like, well, if you could, but I don't think there's someone available right now. So who, like, do you have someone you want to reach out to? And I go, fuck yeah. So I call my physician, who I've had for almost 15 years or something. He's like, hey, but, like, you know, like all casual. Like, what's up, man? I go, I'm in the hospital and blah, blah. He's like, what are you doing? Like, super casual.
Playing
with
like, those kids, huh?
I'm like, man. Here's what happened. He starts talking to the, I go, talk to the emergency room guy. And they start talking about this and that. And I go, hey, because he's always giving me great referrals. If you go like, this is going on, go see this guy. I go, who should I have do this surgery? He's like, you know, like the two best people I know are out of town right now. And I'm like, okay, so do you have like another suggestion? He's like, I can't really think of one. I'm like, for real? He's like, yeah. I go, all right, man. So then I'm talking to this doctor. He goes, well, we have somebody who usually is here. Let me reach out to her. And, you know, he goes away, comes back. She'll see you tomorrow. And then we could have surgery like later tomorrow or the next day.
And I was like, okay. And in my head, I'm like, I know I got to get out of here. Like, I just don't trust it, you know? So they sit me up, and I don't realize that for the last 2 hours, they've been giving me just opiates. And when I sit up, I just open into a full sweat. Like, I wasn't sweating, and then I sit up, and it's like you opened a valve. And I'm like, and I'm like, oh. Like, I didn't realize that's what it took me to feel fucked up. And then I go, I just got a, man. And they put me in a wheelchair, and I go, I want to go pee. So they start to wheel me to a bathroom. And the guy looks at me. He goes, are you all right, man? Like, you look really fucked up. And I was like, I'm fine. Because I didn't want them to be able to keep me there.
Mm-hmm.
So the guy, one of the doctors goes, wait, do you want to leave? And I go, yes. He goes, you want to leave the hospital? I go, yeah. And he goes, all right. I just, you know, I got to sign some things. And he's like, where are you going to go? I was like, I don't know. Home. And he was like, okay.
You're going to go home with the...
What I didn't realize, so I didn't realize that when they discharged me, everybody goes, you know, that was a good decision to leave that place, but you should go to another hospital.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I just go home.
where nothing's going to get fixed.
At all.
Yeah.
So Lindsay picks me up. We go to the drugstore. Broken arm.
And what are you wrapped in?
It's just a fucking ace bandage, like an sling. Ace with like, and like cardboard. It's like the shittiest wrap you could possibly do. Yeah.
Cardboard. Yeah.
And the legs in a straight brace. And I'm like, dude, I'm so fucked up.
It's like the nurse's t-shirt wrapped around you and shit.
And then when I get home, he backs into my garage. Bert and Leanne had like come over and set things up in our basement.
So who's told Christina first?
Well, I think I told her first.
When did you call her?
In the back of the ambulance?
You did.
Mm-hmm.
And what is her reaction? Do you remember all that?
Yeah. She was like, okay. I go, I'm okay. Like, you know, I go, I'm hurt, but I'm okay. And I'm going to, you know, I'm on my way to the hospital and I'll let you know what happens, blah, blah, blah. And then I ended up texting her like, I'm coming home. Dude, when I get home, I mean, it starts to hit me as like they're trying to get me in the house that I can't do anything. Like they carry me over the step to go into the house, and like they carry me down the stairs, and then they carry me and place me on this couch in our basement, and I'm like, and then Bert had gone to the store, and he put snacks on like Doritos, and I'm like, what is this? He's like, in case you get hungry. I'm like, I'm gonna eat Cheetos right now. And then you know what he put right on the stand, right next to my head? Calcium. He's like, I figured you could use that.
Your weak ass.
Yeah,
phone.
I'm like, what the fuck, man? So then Bert always jokes about how Leanne is so direct. Like, she never bites her tongue. She goes, that's going to be a problem. You're going to be in trouble for a while. And I'm like, thanks. And he goes, shut the fuck up. She goes, no, I mean, it's going to be a real problem, Tom. You're probably going to gain a lot of weight too. And I was like, great. Thanks for stopping by. But they helped so much because Christina was just overwhelmed. You know, she's got the kids and she's like, what's happening? Like, so I try to go to, I can't sleep. I mean, I'm in excruciating pain. And I go, all I tell him is like the next day, like we had talked to a doctor friend who goes, you need to go see this orthopedic guy the next day, like at his office. And she arranges for the appointment for me. I'm like, okay. And I tell Bert, you come back here and take me to that appointment. So Bert arranges. I go, arrange for like one of those wheelchair services. Like you see them around.
Yeah, the paratransits.
Yeah, they help like old people go to appointments.
Yeah, not assholes doing a dunk competition.
Yeah, but you know, he finds a guy for $50.
I'm what? Like, where? $50. Home Depot or
well,
something?
The guy shows up. He's got hair down to his waist, which is fine, but you know. It's a little like, oh, you work in this field? He smells like cigarettes. Okay? He's got a 35-year-old wheelchair. Like, the legs don't even move in it. It's rusty. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Why is he budgeting for this?
I don't know. I'm like, Bert. He's like, it's all I could find. So this guy puts me in the chair. And then I hold on to Bert. I go, don't you fucking leave me with this guy. Because normally I would be like, leave me alone. I was like, don't leave me with this guy.
puts me in the chair. A couple times, I think he's going to drop me off my driveway, which is a subterranean driveway. I was like holding on to Bert with everything. I was like, fucking do not leave my side right now. So we get in there, and the guy locks me into the shittiest van that I've ever seen. Like, it's just a shit box and a shit chair. The whole thing sucks. And I'm sitting there, and then the guy's like, what do you do? Bert, we're comedians.
And like, oh, no.
And the guy's like, no shit. And like starts turning around, talking to us. He's like, yeah, you have Netflix? And the guy's like, what's Netflix? I'm like, God damn it, dude.
What's Netflix?
Yeah, you guys totally checked out, okay? We have to give him such explicit directions. I'm like, have you ever driven anyone in this thing before? Like, he doesn't know where anything is. So we pull up to this in Beverly Hills. There's like that whole medical district, mm-hmm. you know?
Caesars so, in that area.
In that area. We pull up to this building, and I go, and I wheel in. They wheel me in to this office. And when I plan it, the doctor walks in and he goes, what are you doing here? And I go, I thought we had an appointment. He goes, no. Why are you not at a hospital? And I go, I left that hospital. He goes, I know. Why aren't you at another hospital? You shouldn't be out. And I go, oh, yeah, I went home. He's like, you went home?
I can't believe you went home.
And I'm like, yeah. He goes, all right. First of all, you're super lucky. And I'm like, what? And he goes, oh, yeah. Like, he goes, this shit sucks, but it's all fixable. He's like, you could have hit your head and you'd be talking with a slur for the rest of your life. He just says that like straight to me. And I was like
do you know Leanne?
I'm like, yeah. So right away, I'm like, okay. And he goes, he points to my arm. He's like, this will be easy fix. He's like, this knee. He's like, that's the real work like of the surgery. And I go, okay.
And he's going to do both?
No, he goes, I could do this. He goes, but like the best trauma surgeon in this area is Dr. Little. And I go, can we get him? He goes, well, I can reach out to him. I don't know if he's available. I don't know if he's around. Like, I haven't talked to him today. I was like, oh, please reach out to him. So he's like, all right, I'm texting him right now. And he goes, get in that van and go to Cedars right now. Like right now, man. And he goes, it's going to suck in the waiting room. You know, you're going to be frustrated, but that's where you need to be. You really need to be there, like, immediately. And I go, okay. So they put me back in the van.
And is there any risk of permanent damage if you don't get this done right away?
Yeah, like, of course.
I mean, within days, like, is there blood clots?
Well,
like,
all that is a concern. Okay. I mean, blood clots. The thing is that they're considered major trauma surgeries. Right, like the major trauma injuries, and they require like a pretty sophisticated orthopedic.
Did you ever
style.
Show the fans the snapped, clean snap bone?
Yeah, it's been. I mean, it's been on the podcast and on my Instagram. Yeah. So when we get in the van, the same guy with the fucking hair, I'm like, all right, man, just go to Cedars, and he goes, what's that?
Nah.
And I go, the fucking Cedars Sinai, the biggest hospital in Los Angeles. He goes, where is it? I go, it's fucking around the corner. It's that building.
It says Cedars Sinai.
And he's like, oh, okay, how do I get there? I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, what do you normally do, bro? So we get closer. I have to tell him not to turn down. He's like, let's go over here. I'm like, no, emergency room's here. That's where I want you to take me. Doesn't know where to go. Whatever, we finally get there. I consider it a relief that we actually pull up and I can get out. And then we get through the check-in process, luckily, so fast. And then we're in that fast track. And it's like this holding area before you get a room. And it's for like orthopedic injuries and like...
But you still don't know if this guy can take you, this surgeon's going to do
it. I still don't know.
So you're... Even though he may or may not be able to, they're like, still, you need to get
you need to go
to
the hospital
and get care.
Yeah, you need care right now. And then he's like, you need surgery, like, within the next day or so, you know.
Let's take a quick break and tell you about our next sponsor, Ritual. We deserve to know what we're putting in our bodies and why, especially when it comes to something we take every day. Ritual's clean, vegan-friendly multivitamin is formulated with high-quality nutrients in bioavailable forms your body can actually see. I take Ritual daily vitamin daily.
I take it every day. It's got a great mint. I can actually taste the mint freshness in it, even though my taste is still off. And I feel way better. I've been looking for a multivitamin for a while. I talked to my friends about them, and like they're telling me, we say, sawdust, all these other weird things are in it. I'm like, where do we get one? Then along comes Ritual. Boom. Ritual is the multivitamin reimagined. A multivitamin should contain key nutrients and forms your body can actually use to help fill gaps in the diet. No shady extras. Ritual's delayed release capsule design delivers high-quality nutrients, including vitamin D3 in just 2 daily pills. Ritual makes healthy habits easy. Your multivitamins are delivered to your door every month with free shipping always. You can start, snooze, or cancel your subscription anytime. And if you don't love Ritual within your first month, they'll refund your first order. Get key nutrients without the BS. Ritual is offering my listeners 10% off during your first 3 months. So here's what you got to do. Visit ritual.com/honeydew to start your ritual today. Our next sponsor is Coors Pure. Do you ever feel the pressure to keep up a healthy life? Like you try to get a workout daily, you eat healthy 100% of the time, you keep up with the wellness trends, you feel like you're trying so hard all the time. And sometimes the simple act of using a standing desk or getting a quick run in is enough to celebrate. Well, let me tell you something. Celebrate those everyday triumphs with Coors Pure. I celebrate. I come in here. I sit down. Ash and I record. We do our ads. We do our Patreons. We do the episodes. I go outside. I don't have a ticket. I go home. I have a Coors Pure. It's a $70 ticket here in Santa Monica. It's expensive, and they're cleaning these streets all the time. Doesn't look like it, though. Coors Pure is all about promoting balance and giving aggressive affirmations to everyday heroes. Coors Pure is the perfect beer to celebrate the wins of everyday life. So when you want to enjoy a beer without the guilt, reach for Coors Pure. It's organic, but chill about it. Go to CoorsPure.com to see where you can find Coors Pure. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Albany, Georgia. Look, you can find them everywhere. They're hard to find sometimes in a liquor store because everybody's snatching them up, but I found them at Target. Go get your Coors Pure at Target. Now, let's get back to the dude.
So I'm like, all right, man. So I get in, and now I'm in a bed. I'm not in my room, but I'm in like this kind of, they call it the fast track. So it's like at least you're getting processed, your name and everything, and they know that they'll kind of evaluate you and send you somewhere from there. So I get into that, and I have, you know, Bert sitting here with me. He is also, this is like so not his thing. Like he's totally like COVID paranoid. Like he's one somebody that was like that the whole time.
Yeah.
And I could see it in his eyes, you know, but he's like staying with me to make sure I'm okay. So then I end up feeling like just, it's weird, but I end up feeling like tremendous gratitude, which is like before anything happens, like before any surgery or anything, I'm like, oh, I'm so lucky to have this
but
family.
But also you got this fucking COVID, you know, nightmare going on in our city at that time.
Oh, yeah.
And now you're having to go into a hospital where COVID people are.
Dude, when we're going through the emergency room to get like checked in, this guy comes in, no mask, he starts telling, I have fever, I'm having trouble breathing. And they're like, put a mask on. Like, and Bert, you see Bert's like, I don't know why you're wearing a mask.
Out, yeah.
He's totally freaked out. So when they finally start going, they send in this orthopedic team comes in. Not the main guy, but like the team. And they're like, we looked at the x-rays. And they're like, yes. It's pretty bad, and you know we're gonna fix you. Like, don't worry, it's okay. Like, we'll take care of you. I'm like, okay. I just start. I'm like, how's your pain? I'm like, fucking through the roof. And he's like, I gotta tell you something. I go, what? He goes, we gotta rewrap this arm. This is the worst wrap I've ever seen anybody do. And I was like, cool.
Cardboard.
Well, and then I tell him, I tell this first guy, I go, yeah, I got. He's like, who did this? And I tell him this hospital, and he goes, wait, why are you here? I go, because I left that hospital. He goes, that's one of the smartest things you've ever done, and I don't even know you.
Wow, really?
yeah.
And I know the one you were in.
I go, yeah, man. So he unwraps the arm. Now it's broken.
God.
And I'm in full pain, and they got to reset it and rewrap it.
They had to set it again?
And then he's like, hey, Bert, give me a hand.
Nah, so, yeah, Bert already gave you a hand.
So Bert's like helping him wrap it. Like, hold his arm here. I'm like, so they rewrap it. Bert gave me his earbuds. I remember that. That was really nice.
That was nice.
Yeah, I remember that moment. He's like, you can have it. He's like, do you want my charger? I was like, fuck yeah, I want your charger. Gave me his charger. And then eventually he leaves. Like I tell him, I'm like, I'm good now, man. I'm settled here. I feel safe.
But wait, when have they told you specifically what is wrong with your knee yet?
No, I don't know. Okay. I don't know exactly what's wrong with it yet. I just know that you're going to have operations. You're going to have at least two operations. And I go, okay. So then there's these nurses come in and they go like, you know, every time they're like, how's your pain? I'm like, it's so intense. And they give me pills, they give me this, and they're like, all right, we're going to go, this is the max. The max that we can give you is Dilaudid. And this doesn't happen for like a couple hours. I'm still like, every time I, you know, if I go like this, you feel just excruciating pain. So I'm like, okay. So I remember the guy comes in, he goes, now, this, a lot of people say that you'll feel a warm rush through your chest. So I'm just letting you know. And I go, he goes, that's normal. And, that, you know, this is the most we can do here. Like, there's nothing else after this. And I go, okay. Oh, my bad. Bert's still there because I remember he was still there because they give it to me. And it was like a clock. It was like 5:04 because I don't feel anything. And all of a sudden, like a warm. And I was like, you can go now, Bert. I was like, you can leave.
I've watched Dilaudid hit two people and instantly just watch them go.
Yeah. It was such, and here's the thing, the arms still hurt, but it was the first time where I was like, well, at least I think I can rest now. Because I don't think I'd slept in, I don't know, a day and a half now or something, right? I'm like, ugh. So then they're like, people are coming in, like different person every time. Nurse shift changes, different doctors, orthopedic team.
And when is surgery, the next morning?
No. So then they're like, you need to get x-ray. So they would wheel me out. Go get x-rays. Wheel me back to that room. Hour goes by. You need more x-rays. Wheel me out. Get x-rays. Go back. Okay. We need to do MRIs. Wheel me down. Get the MRI. Wheel you back. The whole time they're like, hey, your room's almost ready. Like upstairs, like where you'll have your own proper room. Okay. That's like, let's say, 4 in the afternoon. 5, 6, 7, 8. I'm like, what's up with the room? They're like, yeah, it's getting ready. I'm like, you said like 5 hours ago, man. It just keeps going. Finally, after all the x-rays, all the things, your room's ready. All right, they wheel me up. They put me in a gown. And then they go, tomorrow morning, the orthopedic team will come in. Because now it's like 10, 11 at night or something. Orthopedic team will come in, give you the full evaluation, let you know what's happening and what you're going to do. I go, okay. So the next morning, that doctor, Dr. Little, shows up. And I'm like, you're the fucking guy. I was like... Like so excited.
Yeah, so
I was like,
excited.
You're the guy. And he was like, yeah, man. And he looks like he's like 30. I was like, I go, I thought it'd be like an old man. He's like, no. And he's like, here's what happened. You know, he's like, this is pretty bad. This is on your, you know, tells me you tore your patellar tendon. So I'm going to reattach that. And then I'm going to put, he told me, he goes, you had an option. We can cast you up and just let the arm break. Kind of heal that way, like the way you kind of remember kids, you know, when you're a kid having the broken arm. He goes, but I would do the plates. Like that's a much more surefire way of it working because the cast could be like 8 weeks down the line. We're like, oh, it didn't heal set. Right. And then we do surgery. So he's like, you know, it's up. I was like, fucking cut me open, man. Do it. So that's, I have that surgery on a Friday and I remember coming out of it and being like, oh my God, and seeing this crazy scar. And then that's like the next day is when my leg started to hurt. I was like, oh fuck, my leg really hurts. And they're like, yeah, you tore your patellar tendon. And then we operated on it. I'm like, oh yeah, sorry.
So you told me that thing was clean off.
Clean off. And he, the doctor goes, the first thing he told me, he goes, you know, it takes a tremendous amount of force to do this. I was like, yeah, I was dunking. He was like, what?
Just to look at your height.
Yeah.
Everything yeah. about you is not
he was like,
screaming
what?
A guy that should be out there dunking.
He's like, you were dunking? I was like, yeah, bro, I won the contest.
You should have asked him, listen, do you think with the force that I pushed off, I could have dunked on 9-3?
I mean, you know what I told him? I go, I have it on video. And he goes, I would love to see that. He goes, I would love to see it to show like my orthopedic team. Yeah, because he goes, it's rare that we have
just follow me on Instagram.
An injury like this. and actually be able to see like the results of how it happened. And I go, okay. So like a day later, I have Lindsay. I go, send me the footage you have, right? He sends it to me. I show it to this guy in my hospital bed. He goes, ugh.
He's a doctor.
He goes, I don't want to see that again. I go, I thought you wanted it. He goes, no, not anymore. I go, are you serious? He goes, that's horrible. I'm like, you operate on me. Like, you cut people open. He goes, like, that was gruesome.
That's like a homicide detective going, oh, fuck, Jesus. Man, I don't want to work that case.
Nah. He's like, that's nasty.
That's disgusting.
I was like, okay, man. So that's a Friday. On a Monday, I go, they put me in another ambulance, and they take me to a recovery center. Because basically they go, you know, if you go home right now, you have two fresh operations. You're literally incapable of doing anything.
I mean, you're left-handed. Your left arm is shot.
And your left
leg is shot.
You can't stand. You can't take care of yourself. You can't eat. You can't go to the bathroom. Like, you are incapacitated. Like, it's really this thing where you're like, oh, my God, I'm, like, disabled right now. They're like, yeah, you are. Right now, you are.
Did they give you a handicap placard?
No.
You could probably file for one.
I probably could. That shit. But
I'll give you jinx you anyway.
Man. They give me options of, like, you can go to recover at this place, that place. And then they're like, and then we'll start with PT and OT at the recovery center to start basically rehabbing you. All of this, like, is hitting you. You're like, what the – like, because it just feels like all
at once.
Kind
of time frame for this stuff? Like, how long you're going to be in the recovery center?
That, they're like, at least a few weeks. And then they start talking about, like, what does it take? I go, what does it take to, like, come back from these things? They're like, well, you're going to be in a straight brace on your leg for 6 weeks. So your leg's not going to bend for 6 weeks. And then you'll start kind of working it back, but they're like, the muscle will definitely atrophy and you'll have to rehab that. And then this arm, they're like, don't worry about the break. The break will just heal. But you also bruised your radial nerve. So, like, that controls extenders and everything. And I'm like, how long does that take? And he's like, I've seen it as little as 4 months and as long as, like, 18 months. I'm like,
how's it now?
I mean, I can't, like, it's much better.
Huh?
But it's much better than it was.
Yeah.
Like, every month it's better. But when I first was there, like, I had wrist drop, which means, like, you can't even pull your wrist up, you know?
You couldn't even do it.
No, not at all. I couldn't do this.
Are you freaking out mentally when you're laying there at night and nobody's around? That if any of this shit's not, are you gonna have a permanent limp? Are you gonna fucking have a hook?
I didn't really
arm. My grandfather, they called him Hook. He broke his arm and then whatever didn't set right or whatever. And he's always had he could never straighten it all the way. It was always like this.
They made me feel like, don't, you know, this stuff you'll all rehab. And I believed them. I was like, okay, really? And they're like, yeah, you know. The thing they emphasize to you is, like, it takes time, though. It's not, like, a week, man. Like, it's going to take a while, but you will
be
fine.
You got two young kids at home. You got a lot going on.
So then the next day, I get to the recovery center, and they had stopped, like, on the day before at the hospital doing Dilaudid. They moved to oxys, the pills. I get to that recovery center. I get in bed. Like, they, you know, the paramedics put you in a new bed. I'm kind of getting my bearings. And then the nurse comes in with a needle. And she goes, all right, I'm going to give you some Dilaudid. And I go, oh, no. They stopped giving it to me yesterday. And she goes, well, you're getting it tonight. I just put it in my arm. And I was like, I just passed out. Like, I don't remember. Just went to bed. Next morning, I wake up. And then I'm like, it starts to hit me like, oh, man, I didn't realize how little I was capable of doing, you know, at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do, and like, I still remember I was always either 1 degree or two, too hot or too cold, but I couldn't control it. So I have to call someone in. Could you raise it?
A degree.
And they're like, sure. And they're like, yeah. And then, like, 10 minutes later, you're like, could you lower it 1 degree? You have to call them in to do it. It starts to, like, fuck with your head that you're like, oh, I have to have someone do that. Or like, that water bottle is out of reach. Call someone in. Could you pass me the thing that's fucking 8 inches away? You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And then, you know, so at first this whole thing I felt was, like, emotionally I felt, like, this overwhelming gratitude. Just that, like, I was taken care of, that I was able to get this amazing surgeon. I was like, oh, man, like, you know, I was told that this was the guy, and I actually got him. And I kept going like, I'm so lucky. Like in my head, I was just thinking this. I'm so lucky I have the friends I have, the family I have. I'm so lucky that I'm here and they're taking care of me. I'd feel really lucky. And then I would feel like just depressed to be sitting in that room alone. And I said before, like, you don't have true isolation, but you kind of have partial isolation.
Mm-hmm.
You start going like, oh man, what's it like for people in real isolation? Because I'm not having that much contact. I mean, Christina's out. She's got to take care of the kids and there's, you know, she's got to keep things going. And you're not allowed to like come for that long anyway to these places. So I'm just sitting there like, man, just kind of bummed out. But like not super fucked up about it, but, you know, kind of thinking about things. Oh, man, my life and all this. And then the PT comes. And she's like, man. She told me later, she's like, that first day, she goes, I didn't know what the fuck to do with you.
Why? She hadn't seen anything like that?
She was just like, they were such major injuries. And you were just like laying there. I didn't think you were capable of doing anything. She was worried about blood clots and infections and all this stuff. So she was like having me do ankle pumps just in bed. Like that was like, she was like, just do that. Like move your feet like this. I was like, okay. After a couple of days, she goes, hey, have you felt like, she's coming like 3 days a week to start. She goes, have you felt like really down, like real bluesy, cried or something? And I'm like, no, because I hadn't experienced that. And she goes, don't worry. It's coming. And I go, what? And she goes, it's coming. And I figure it's like the blanket thing that somebody says to everybody and it applies to a percentage. Mm-hmm. Sort of like someone saying, don't play basketball in your 40s, you'll get fucked up, you know? So I'm like.
Exactly like that.
So it's Friday. That's when she says it to me. It's on a Friday. The weekend comes, Saturday, Sunday. Monday she comes for the next session. She goes, so how you feeling? I go, I'm all right. She goes, you feel real sad yet? I go, no. She goes, you haven't like broken down or anything? I go, no. She goes, it's coming.
She said, it's coming.
And I'm like, okay. I go, I really haven't. Like I told you, I felt the gratitude and stuff. Dude, she left at like 2 o'clock. I think like 6 o'clock that night. I was like, like bawling. Bawling.
What started it?
They switched my nurse on me. And I didn't realize it. I cried like crazy. And then I cried. So the next morning I was like, I want them to switch my staff to where it was. And I figure what I'll do is I'll talk to the person in charge, but like in a very professional manner and be like, like going to like my like almost corporate speech. Like, I appreciate that you have a way of doing things here. I just want you to know, like, this is like when I'm rehearsing in my head. I want you to know that I think the whole staff's great, but I really like the staff that I worked with last week. So if you don't mind, I would like, if it's possible, to switch. She gets on the phone. She's like, you want to talk to me? I go, there's my nurse. Started crying, like crying. She's like, it's okay. I was like, bawling.
I want my nurse back.
Yeah, I want my nurse back. Crying into Kleenex, like
that wipe. Emotional. Huh?
Super emotional. Crying. So then she's like, okay, we'll switch everything back. So they switch the whole staff. I was like, that's better. Thanks. And then that would happen randomly.
When did that lady come in and finally ask you if you had broke?
Oh, yeah. Well, she came in on Wednesday. She's like, how you doing? I go, yeah, I've been crying a lot. She's like, I told you.
Yeah.
She's like, I
did
told you.
Did you tell them you requested her back?
Well, she's my PT. She's my PT.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay,
so
okay.
That's Dr. Karen Joubert. She's fantastic.
So she knew that shit was coming, huh?
And you know what's funny? Do you know Chris DiStefano?
Yeah.
So Chris used to be a PT.
Mm-hmm.
So he reached out to me when I first got in, and I didn't see him for a while. When I saw him next, and he doesn't know any of this stuff, he goes, he was like, yeah, did you get like real emotional at one point? And I was like, yeah. He goes, did you feel like really connected to people that were like caretaking for you? I was like, yeah. He's like, did you feel like parts of your personality almost like shifted and stuff? I go, yeah. He goes, yeah, that's what we see. Like all the PTs see it. The doctors and nurses don't really prepare you for that part of it, but the PTs all know.
Why do they know you're going to cry? What is it to hit you?
They
like
according
overwhelming
to
overwhelming
like,
gratitude or?
They, according to that, like Chris explained it in a really interesting way to me.
Trauma bonding, like.
Yes. A part of it is that. So yeah. The way that he explained it is that when you get a big injury, like I had a severe injury, your brain is like, this is super traumatic, But we have to deal with the physical part of this, like the fact that things are broken and you need to get into recovery. Mm-hmm. So you kind of compartmentalize the trauma emotions and you kind of store them for a minute. And then as you are coming out of like now, like they repair you, like you're coming out of surgery, then your brain goes, well, we don't have to like, we can relieve some of this expression because you're somewhat put together. So then it just starts to come out. He goes, we saw it like almost every time we worked with somebody that had like a, he said that like people, he would see like real personality shifts in people. Like some people, like they're completely different afterward.
And stay that way?
Yeah. He's like, it's like they come out of their shell, totally different. I mean, I don't feel like that degree of change, but I do feel different emotionally.
You do.
And personality wise. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've said it like on other podcasts where like I go, I'm way more social like in the last few months, meaning just like reaching out to people more, checking on people, meeting new people and being like, yeah, like let's like things I would never have done a few months ago, like hanging out with people that like, I feel like I operated like on a bandwidth of like, this is my family. These are my friends. Everybody else I'm cordial, I'm polite to, mm-hmm. but I don't look to take it any, you know what I mean?
Any further than that.
And now I feel like I'm seeking like more connections and stuff. I mean, it's in my head all the time.
That's your next album right there, bro. Seeking connections.
Seeking connections?
That's it.
Or like just don't play ball anymore?
Dunk champ is it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dunk champ.
But it was like an emotional experience that I did not expect to happen.
Well, so much came up because I wanted to come visit you and you're like, well, you got to get a corona test.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just had one a few days ago. You're like, no, you got to get one within like 48 hours.
They had rules. And then I got COVID.
Well, that's the only reason I found out I had COVID. I had just got tested. I would have never, under normal circumstances, gotten another test a few days later.
Yeah.
If I just tested negative. But I had to come see you. And then I get the results over the weekend. I'm like, there's no way this shit's positive. It's got, and then everybody on my side got it. And I'm like, here we fucking
I was so sick in there.
But you didn't have it when I had it, right? I called you and you got it right after I told you I had it, right?
So my second week in that recovery place on a Tuesday. They came and I did back-to-back PT and OT, back-to-back, like an hour of each.
And these are people coming in from the outside.
Yes.
Right.
And they come in, I do it, and as the lady's leaving, the PT's leaving, I put my head back and I sleep for like 3.5 hours. I wake up, I'm like, man, I'm so tired. Not thinking anything like related to a sickness. I'm just like, oh, this is like fatigue because I'm weak and I'm doing like this physical therapy. The rest of that day, I'm like, man, I'm beat. Go to bed. Next day I wake up, I'm like, fuck, I'm so tired. I remember my neck and my shoulders just ached like crazy. And I ate like a regular breakfast and I had horrible diarrhea. And then I was supposed to do another like PT session. She was like, just rest. But everyone thinks you're just tired
right.
from the work you're doing. I must have taken like a 5-hour nap that day or something, man. It was like I was so wiped out. And I keep going to the bathroom and I'm like, fuck, I'm so beat up. And then the next day, it's like a little bit better. You know, I still don't feel great. And then Friday, I'm like, oh, I'm starting to feel better. Well, by like Wednesday, Thursday, they see me. They're like, we think you have a bug. No one says COVID. Like, we think you have a bug. So just no more visitors. So they cut off visitors for me. I'm like, okay. On Friday, they go, do you want to get a COVID test just to rule it out? I'm like, all right. I get a test. And then it was an outside source that tested us. They didn't turn in the sample in time.
So you leave.
So I leave. I finally go home on a Saturday. I get home. I go to sit on our couch to watch a movie. And I get all emotional seeing my kids. Like I came back from war or something. I was like, hey, my son. Like, I'm
your
so.
Son's kicking
yeah, he's kicking me. He's like, where you been, man? I'm like, I'm fucking. Oh, my God. I had to protect myself so
I'll bet
much
you
around
did.
Them. So much around them. I was terrified of them because they're 2 and 5. I mean, they don't give a fuck,
nope.
man. They throw shit at me.
Yeah.
Like fucking metal cars.
Sorry.
And you're like, wow. Like they fuck you up. So Christina had hired a like part-time nurse to come in and care. She's like, I got to take care of the kids. I can't be taking care of you and the kids. So the nurse will be here for you for this like first week while you get adjusted for like some daytime hours. All right, cool. Like we finished the movie. And as the movie ends, I just open my phone. I see email, blah, blah, blah. Click the link. Corona test positive. And I'm like, nah. And then they follow up with a call. They're like, hey, we just following up. I go, it says positive. Like I said, I'm like, are you sure about that? And they're like, yeah. Yeah, you have it. I'm like, oh my God. I'm feeling better, like much better. So I'm like, oh, I think it's actually good to find out afterwards. Cause if you had told me during, I might've been like nervous about it, right? Yeah. So I'm like, I actually feel fine now. But I have to tell everyone. So I tell Christina,
You got to tell the recovery center, all those people in there that have been around you.
Oh, yeah. They've all been around me. So I do. I tell Christina first. She tells the nurse that was coming to take care of me. That nurse was like, I got to go.
I'm out.
So I was like, all right. So she leaves. And Christina's like, fuck. Now I got to take care of you, too. I'm like, sorry. So then I call that recovery place and I tell them. And that lady's like, oh, shit. She's so like, oh, no. I'm like, yeah, I mean, that's just what happened, you know? And then I spend, like a full week in the basement, you know, just – and I get tested again. I think I test positive one more time. Then I have someone come and test me, and I finally test negative. Then Christina tests positive.
Yeah.
She has, like, that cockroach DNA, though, where, like
– nothing happened.
I mean, she was, like, kind of – not feeling great for like 2 days. Mm-hmm. None of the symptoms I had. So, yeah, then I go upstairs for the first time December 24th.
You climb the stairs yourself?
Yeah, but like with like a peg leg because it's still in the straight brace. Dude, he gave me, my doctor gave me clearance to drive.
I couldn't believe when you were driving.
January 6th with the straight brace. Mm-hmm. So like your left leg is completely straight out. But it made me feel normal to drive.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I spent Christmas up, you know, upstairs and around and then.
Well, when I came over, I saw your little old man stool that you had to sit on in the shower.
That thing, by the way, the most terrifying thing the whole time was showering. When I was in recovery.
Did you sit? You just sat and slid in, didn't
bro,
you?
Bro, recovery, they go. I'm like in the hospital, they do sponge bath. Recovery, they do sponge bath. By the second week, they go, do you want a shower? And I was like, no. Just keep doing the – because that was actually like a fear of like – you start looking at – I just talked to Joey Diaz because he had knee replacement. The way you look at floors after something happened to your knee, you're just like – the thing you look for the most is like a slippery spot.
Yeah.
Like you look for a water spot.
Wet tile and shit.
Or I started –
step downs.
I used to – when I get home, I always take my shoes off and I walk around in socks in my house. But I have hardwood floors. All you need is like a little slip and, dude, the – adrenaline that you feel of like, oh my God, something's gonna happen to my leg. So now I take socks off.
Right? I have hardwood floors, but I wear my flops. I wear my Adidas.
Yeah,
slides.
I just was like in a full panic about that. But when I get home, so I haven't had a proper shower now in like
weeks.
So I sit in this thing, but you have to sit in the chair first, take off the brace, take off the wrap. Then shower seated, and like it's not the most stable chair to begin with, right? You're like, oh my God, clean yourself, turn the water off, dry off seated, rewrap, rebrace. That to me was like one of the most stressful periods to be in, of just like, I just wanted to get out of this and feel safe.
And like, what is it like when you're seeing your scars?
They don't really bother. There's things that like just you go. I mean, the knee one.
Was that
like,
the first time? It's not the first time you saw the scar, though, right?
No,
you would see it when they'd wrap it and rewrap it.
You see when they wrap it, and like it didn't really bother me. The arm one's dramatic, but like you know, everyone at first they're like, "Are you gonna get a huge tattoo to cover it?" And I was like, "Yeah." And then they're like, "What are you gonna?" I'm like, "No, I'm not actually
That's
doing that
the tattoo."
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. You know, I just you know, it's just a scar. I don't know. It doesn't bother me. I mean, but the showering was. Full fucking panic. And being able to shower without help was like such a victory. Like when I finally could be like, I don't need you to dry me off.
Would you say it all through this, yeah, your most vulnerable, what was it when you broke down about your staff being replaced, or was it feeling like taking a shower? What about wiping your ass? I bought you that wiping the ass thing.
We didn't talk about that.
Did you even try it?
I remember.
Listen, there's no way that thing works. I kept looking at this thing.
I didn't try it.
It's a gripper, and you're supposed to put it up underneath you so you can wipe your ass like this. But all it does is it looks like it smears the shit just everywhere. There's no way.
Dude, my shits.
You chuck toilet paper in there.
My shits were.
Well, you're probably not shitting much from all the pain meds they were giving you for a little while.
First time was 5 days.
Yeah.
So on day five, they go, have you gone? And I go, no. And they go, you could do a suppository today. Or we can wait, but, you know, if you end up building it more, it could be a problem. And as soon as I heard that, like, could get bad, I was like, do it today. Let's do it today.
Yeah, so 5 days is a long time.
Yeah,
so
they
shit,
do it.
Your Annie.
They do it in the hospital. Yeah, like on the fifth day. And I'm concerned because I've had surgery and I go, I can't wipe. Like, you can't lean, you can't turn, you can't reach. It's fresh scars, you know, like fresh operation.
And I've really thought about it. Like, I wipe with my dominant hand. I don't know if I could get myself completely clean with my.
But I've always wiped with my right hand.
I'll have you?
Yeah.
All right.
I do a number of things.
I do my phone. Everything's left-handed, but that's about
it. I write with my left hand. I eat like with a fork with my left hand. I brush my teeth with my left hand, but I wipe my ass and I jerk off with my right hand.
Do you really jerk with your right?
Yeah.
I don't think I could do.
Yeah.
I
throw a ball. I throw a ball with the right hand.
No, I couldn't do that either.
So I remember I was like, I think I'm going to shit. And the doctor was like, that's good because you haven't, you know? I go, yeah, but I can't wipe. He's like, oh, one of the nurses will do it. And I was like, oh. And a nurse came in and handed me wipes. I go, what are these for? And he goes, because you're going to go to the bathroom. I go, yeah, but you're going to do it. And he was like, oh, shit. Like, yeah, he didn't hide it at all. He was like, man.
God damn.
And he left. I go, what are you doing? He goes, I'll come back. And then he you know, he came back. He did a horrible job.
Wiping your ass?
Yeah, he did.
What do you mean?
He was just like.
Just patting out.
Yeah, he was like, God.
Dabbing it.
Like, there's so much. I was like, yep. And then there was another late. So.
Bad job.
He did a bad. He didn't want to do it. He did one of the things. Y'all do a bad job. They won't ask me to do it again. One of those. Oh, like when you're a kid,
yeah,
and they're like,
yeah,
"Do the dishes," and you're like, "Oh, everything's fucking dirty." Still, you're like, "I tried."
Yeah, I did the best I could.
So he did a horrible job. And then the next nurse was really like compassionate and like, but she would comment the whole time. She was like, "Gosh, you got so much back here." Oh, hold on. Oh, there's some in this crack here. And I was like,
how many cracks?
I was like, what? She said, oh, there's a crevice here. Oh, I didn't realize it spread around. Hold on. And she was like,
that might have been some leftover shit from the first guy.
Dude, I'm holding on to a walker.
While somebody's
wiping my ass. I'm like, this is the fucking best. And then I remember that a nurse came in who I was like, I got it. That was the first, it was like, day I couldn't shit in recovery either because I'm still on drugs,
mm-hmm.
So I had to keep doing suppositories,
and then that would just unleash.
And then a nurse came in to wipe my ass, and I was like, I got it. She was like, really? I go, yeah, I got it. She was like, I think that's a compliment. Thanks. And I walked away, and I was like, all right. And that was like, and it was like pain, but I was like, oh, I can do it. I can do it. Shitting was absolutely terrible, though. Terrible. Just to like not be able to. Like, yeah. You're like, how many days? You start counting the days. I haven't shit in 4 days. Just trying to get those oxys out of your system so that you go normally again. It was terrible.
So what's the first thing that made you feel normal when you healed up? I bet your driving probably helped.
Driving really helped.
But what's the first thing you did that you couldn't do before? Like,
oh, man.
Pick up the kids, you know. I mean, because you couldn't pick them up, right?
Obviously. No, definitely not.
And you couldn't, like, even if you couldn't put weight on that knee.
Oh, no. I mean, I like, at first was like, I had like strict, like, don't let them run in here. I was scared to be asleep on the bed and have, because they'll just jump on you,
right.
You know? And there's two of them. So, like, you know, you got to watch out, like, Well, you're distracted by one. The other one's like,
ducking behind you on one shove.
And they're always like jumping on my head and shit, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, I would say like the driving, the time that when I realized I could shower unassisted, oh my God, that felt so amazing. When I got the straight brace off, it was terrifying. And I see the muscle is completely like
skinny.
Like that
tennis
arm. Yeah, like you see this big right quad, and like you can see it. Like you see the muscle in it, and it's like thick. And then you see this left leg, and it's just skin, and you see like the shape of a leg, but there's no muscle definition or anything. And the thing you don't think about is like, you know, when you like bump into something, like I didn't realize that the muscle in your leg like keeps you from like feeling that basically. You know, you bump like the chair,
mm-hmm.
but on this leg, it's like you feel it in the bone.
Oh,
you
know? That's creepy. Like a skeleton leg.
Yeah. It's like, and then they go, it's going to take, when I finally started doing real PT, they're like, it's going to take a year for an orthopedic injury to fully. So like a year from now, your left leg should look like your right leg. And I was like, damn, a year.
Yeah, I didn't know it was that long. Yeah. I remember I had a dumb injury. I went out after a Monday night Ravens game with a friend out here. We went to the park, started throwing the football around, and I step in a hole, and I just wreck. I mean, I turn the top of my foot touches the ground, and then I get up, and I'm like, oh, but that's not enough. It hurt, so I keep going. Well, then I roll the other one. So I go home. I just go to bed. I prop my foot up, and I wake up in the morning, and this fucking ankle is like this. Oof. I was like, oh, shit. And I go to the specialist, and he's like, yeah, you tore everything. And he puts me in a cast that holds my leg together. I think it was 3 months, and it came up to my knee. And it just basically, he's like, you just need to fucking leave this shit sit, and it'll grow back.
Yeah.
But he's like, it's what he said to me. You're going to get fat and soft. Yeah. I'll never forget him saying it that way, fat and soft.
Yeah.
And then when I took that, it stunk, and he took that, because of old school fucking cast. And I already have skinny legs as it is. That calf was like nothing.
Nothing, man.
It was like nothing.
That's another thing that people would message me. They're like, you're going to get so fat. Like everybody was messaging me.
You didn't
that.
Get fat.
I've lost 30 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, it really bothered me that people were like, you're going to really turn into a piece of shit now. And I was like, what? And because you know who said the opposite? The PT.
Really?
Yeah. Who's like been right about everything. She was like, oh no, you'll end up in the best shape of your life. So I believed her.
Yeah.
I remember saying it and seeing people there like, what the fuck are you talking about, man? And I was like, wait, who am I supposed to listen to? The person
physical
who
therapists were right about everything.
They're right about everything. And I was like, so
Brian,
the person that like deals with this or like some fucking douchebag, you know, on Instagram.
Right,
I was like, what? But I remember reading that and being like, why would that happen? They're like, because you're just going to be a mess now. Like, I was like, okay. But no, she's been right about everything. She actually said, she goes, when you're like a year, like when you're at a full year, she goes, I guarantee you'll probably be in the best shape or close to the best shape of your life. And she was like, and you'll probably be stronger than you were before you got injured.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, you're already out there lifting and everything else.
Yeah. I'm lifting, doing a lot of cardio. Dude. Yeah. Eating right. That's the other thing I was not doing at all before. But I was working out a lot. That time. That's the thing that like also people get wrong. They're like, well, you shouldn't just go from doing nothing to that. And I'm like, yeah, but I wasn't. Like I was working out like 5 days a week. I wasn't eating great, but I was active, you know?
Yeah.
I was lifting, I was playing tennis still, even after we competed, I still kept playing, kept training. You know, it's just fucking, it's a freak injury, man. It's a freak fucking injury. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you were able to capitalize on that motherfucker.
I got paid so much money to get injured.
Let me ask you this. You keep your business to yourself, but the money you've made off the shows and everything, if you knew going into it, if you break this and this, you'll make this, would you go do it?
No.
No.
Definitely not. I mean, I look at it now as like, you know, you don't want this injury or these injuries. Now I'm comfortable that they happened, and I feel like it has put me on a better path. Like I said, with exercise, with diet, with like mental. So like I see the positive that comes from it. I would never go like, hey man, if I give you this check, will you take these injuries? Like, fuck no. These injuries are terrible.
There's a lot of people out there who will take those checks.
Well, it's so much money. I made so much money. Like it's alarming. But it still is not worth getting injured.
That's alarming.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank you for coming on here and doing this, dude.
Yeah,
I
man.
Love you. I wanted to have a beer here on our last episode before you officially move away. But you guys are going to be coming back for a while, won't you?
This will make you laugh, I think. So I have this. We move out of the house soon, and then we're in a hotel for a minute. We visit family. We move into our house in Austin May 10th. And okay. I am back in L.A. May 12th.
Nah. Yeah. Are you really?
Yeah.
To record stuff?
Do shows and record. And then I come back again. Like 3 weeks later, and then again 3 weeks. And each time is for like 5 days. So, I mean, I'll be here all the time then.
All right. Well,
but I love you. I love you. You're absolutely the best. I think back on like, you know, it's kind of a new chapter to like be moving, obviously, and like start a life in Austin. But you're definitely one of the brightest like memories that I'll have of Los Angeles.
That's nice, man. Thank you.
No, I mean, like I remember vividly meeting you and being like attached to you and basically living. I invited myself to your apartment and I just stayed there, and it's the best memories I have.
It's great.
So we had a lot of good times, man.
I'm getting emotional. I love you, dude.
No, I love you too. And you know, we'll be doing
well. I'm coming to Austin. As soon as you all get settled, I'm coming down to check it out. I want to come down.
You
for
absolutely
a
have
minute
to yeah.
check it out.
And hopefully all this bullshit gets lifted, and we'll be doing gigs again too.
Yeah, I can't wait for that. I'm vaccinated. I'm ready to go. God damn it.
Let's roll, man.
I love you. One more time, promote whatever you want.
Just you know, a bunch of dates are coming. TomSegura.com, and of course we have the podcasts. So they're all on the Your Mom's House podcast YouTube channel, and I actually have ones that I started on my own channel, the Tom Segura channel.
Yeah, Tom Talks.
Tom Talks, which is so fun. And
I saw
then,
you picked up the Spanish one again.
Spanish one helps me because I'm touring in Spanish. Yeah. So I do that to like keep speaking Spanish, because that's the one thing I realized, that if you don't speak all the time, it really starts to fade on you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, bro. I love you.
Yeah, I love you too, man.
RyanSickler.com. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. Ryan Sickler on all social media. Talk to y'all next week.